All right, so I'm going to start this sermon off in a way that I don't normally like to do. I'm going to talk about the Eagles. And the reason that I don't normally like to do this is because even though I like football and I love the Eagles, I think that as a culture we already deify sports and athletes a little bit too much. And so I don't want to do something that creates too much of a parallel between that and God. But in this case, it's a really good analogy. So just take that for what it is, an analogy, and that's all. So the Eagles made it to the playoffs after an improbable late season run. If you paid any attention to them at all this year, then you know that there is no way that this team should have won their division and made the playoffs. Because up until about a month ago, they were bad. Like lose to one of the worst teams in the league, bad. They lost three games in a row, and everyone had written them off. And the biggest reason why they were so bad and everyone had written them off was because of injuries. All throughout the season, their best players kept getting hurt. So their three best receivers got injured. They had to play the backups. But then those backups got injured, so they had to put in the backups to the backups. And at one point, even those backups got hurt. And they were thinking about putting in a 40-year-old quarterback at receiver, which if you don't know anything about football, that's not good. You don't want that to ever happen. Everyone was getting injured. And it eventually got so bad that they had to put in all these players from their practice squad. Now, those are the guys that only play in practice because they don't really care about how banged up they get by the real players, right? So again, if you don't know anything about football, you don't want that to happen. You don't want your practice team players playing in these important late season games. But even with all of these backups and practice team players, the Eagles started winning. They won their last four games in a row, and they were doing it with all these players that no one had ever heard of. Like, I was watching the game last week with our son Ryan, and after every play, the announcer would say, "And there's a huge play by so-and-so," and we would look at each other like, "Who?" Like, literally had no idea who these guys were out on the field. The good players, the ones who get paid all the money and were supposed to be out there playing, were standing on the sidelines watching. And the ones who were supposed to be standing on the sidelines watching, or maybe even watching at home like us, they were the ones out there on the field making the big plays and winning the game. The ones who were supposed to be in were out. And the ones who were supposed to be out were in. And this is where it relates to our story today. Today is the holy day of Epiphany. And actually tomorrow, the 12th day after Christmas, is Epiphany, but we celebrate it together today. This is the day when we celebrate the Magi, the wise men, coming to find Jesus and bringing their gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now this word Epiphany, it comes from the Greek word Epiphaneus, which means to appear or to reveal. That comes from a word that means glorious, or glory. And that comes from, so again, we're with the backups to the backups here, but that comes from a word that means to shine, to bring light, or to make visible. So, to appear, to reveal, glorious glory, to shine, to make visible. If you put all of this together, Epiphany has to do with the coming of light that reveals glory. Coming of light that reveals glory. When someone says, "I had an epiphany," they're saying something that was not clear to me before, I can see it now. It's about something being revealed. It's like the lights come on and you get it. It's that moment where the light bulb comes on over your head. Some kind of knowledge is made known to you. A mystery is revealed to you. And what is being revealed on that first epiphany 2,000 years ago is the glory of God in Jesus Christ. What is being made known is that Jesus is the King of the Jews, the long-awaited Messiah of Israel. But here's the thing. It's not being revealed to the people on the inside, the ones who were supposed to get it. It's being revealed to the people on the outside, the ones who are not supposed to get it. There are two main players in this story. There's King Herod and the wise men. And we don't actually know how many wise men there were. We always sing about three of them, but Scripture doesn't actually say how many there were. So for our purposes here, we're just going to lump them all in as one of the main players in this story. But King Herod was the insider. He was the powerful Roman-backed ruler of the region. He was born in Israel, and he was Jewish. He was surrounded by the best advisors and Jewish religious leaders. If there was anyone to whom the glory of God should have been revealed, to whom the mystery of the Messiah of Israel should have been made known, it was King Herod. The Magi, or wise men, were astrologers who came from the east, probably Persia, what we know today as Iran, which is to say, they were not from Israel, and they were not Jewish. They were Gentiles. They were outsiders. There was no reason why they should have known or cared about the birth of the King of the Jews or the Messiah of Israel, because they weren't from Israel, and they weren't Jewish. And yet it is to them that the glory of God is revealed and this mystery is made known. The one who is supposed to be in, King Herod, is watching all of this from the outside. And the ones who were supposed to be on the outside were the ones who saw Jesus face to face. And this is a theme that runs all throughout the life of Jesus. The people closest to him and the ones who should have understood who he was didn't really get who he was or what he was doing. The Pharisees and other Jewish religious leaders, they didn't get it. His disciples didn't get him a lot of the time. His own mother and family, there are stories about how they think he's gone crazy, he's lost his mind, and they come to bring him back home. And yet these other people, all throughout the Gospels, Samaritans, lepers, sinners, Gentiles, Romans, non-Jewish people, they seem to get what's going on here. Their eyes were opened to the presence and the glory of God in their midst. And this is a theme that Paul picks up on in his letters too, especially this letter to the Ephesians. So Ephesus was a city in Asia Minor, present-day Turkey. It was outside of Israel. The people who lived there were not Jewish. They were Gentiles. They were outsiders. And yet they had come to faith in Jesus as the Messiah. Paul writes to them that the mystery of Christ has been revealed to them, and that they, Gentiles, outsiders, have become heirs, members of the same body, sharing in the same promise as the people of Israel through Jesus Christ. It used to be that the promise of God, the love and blessing of God, the kingdom of God, was limited to the Jewish people. Think of it like a city with a wall around it. Only the Jewish people were allowed inside the city of God. But in Jesus Christ, the gates to that city have been opened wide, and the whole world has been invited in to share in the promise and the love and the blessing of God with the people of Israel. The mystery that's being revealed in Christ, we see it in Paul and in the story of the wise men, is that those on the outside belong to God, are loved by God, and are part of God's family. Paul says that this has been made known to the church so that the church can make it known to the world. So that we can proclaim the good news that there are no outsiders. The promise and the love and the blessing of God is for all people. Our job is to help others see it and experience it and live into it. Not to serve as gatekeepers deciding who gets to come in and who has to stay out, but to stand at the doors, the gates to the kingdom of God, and invite everyone to come in and join the celebration. Calling of the church is to say to the world, the promise of God is for you. The love of God is for you. The blessing of God is for you. Jesus Christ is for you. God is revealed to the world today through the life of the church, but not in a way that says, we have God and you do not. We're the insiders and you are the outsiders. God is revealed in us as we live and practice our faith in ways that show humility, in ways that make peace, and work for justice, and practice forgiveness, and live in love. The glory of God in Jesus Christ is revealed through us when we live the life of Christ in the world. And the question that this forces us to ask is, who do we think of as being outside the love and blessing of God today? Who in this world and in our lives do we look at and think, not them? I don't see any evidence of the presence or glory of God in their life. The love and blessing and favor of God is not for them. They're a mess. Or they believe the exact opposite of what I believe, or they drive me absolutely crazy, or they are just a little too different. They don't do things the way that I think they should be done, or they're too liberal, or they're too conservative, or they're Jewish, or Muslim, or atheist, or immigrants, or poor, or addicts. Who do we look at today as outsiders? Maybe God is actually calling them to be a part of this story with us. Maybe God is calling us to experience this epiphany, this revelation, to have our eyes and ears and hearts and minds and doors open to them, so that the glory and love and blessing and presence of Christ can be revealed to them through us, so that through our love and acceptance, they might come to know God's love and acceptance. Maybe God is saying to us, as God said through the prophet Isaiah in the words that are on the cover of our bulletin, lift up your eyes and look around. They gather together. They come to you. As we enter this new year, how will we reach out to those who are thought of as being on the outside and welcome them in to the love and blessing and story of God, the way that we were welcomed through Jesus Christ? Amen.